Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
I can think of so many times in my life where in the pruning process, it's caused me to go deeper into the Word, to really search the Scriptures, to really see, Lord, what do you want from my life? What are you trying to tell me? What areas do you want to deal with? What do you want to change? And you find that there is that cleansing effect that begins to occur through His Word.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the Gospel of John. Join us as Pastor Brian resumes his teaching on John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, in a message titled, The Vine and the Branches. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
We tend to think a lot of times that, you know, if we're doing really well, if we're bearing fruit, if things are seeming to go well for us spiritually, then we shouldn't have any problems. We shouldn't have any difficulties. We shouldn't have any challenges. We shouldn't have any setbacks. And then when suddenly something happens, we think, oh, well, what's going on here? What happened? Lord, have you forsaken me? Or did I do something wrong? Or, oh, God, is there sin in my life? Is that why this is going on? But you see, not necessarily. It can simply be that God looks at your life and says, you know, you're bearing fruit, but there's potential for a lot more, but we need to do some pruning here. We need to do some pinching. We need to do some cutting back. We need to do some thinning. We all go through these kinds of seasons because the Lord wants to bring maximum fruit from our lives. And so He will allow us to be cut back. And sometimes in the midst of that pruning, it just seems that everything's gone wrong. This couldn't possibly be of the Lord. I mean, if God is with me, how could I be going through these kinds of things? But it's a pruning. Cheryl and I used to have in our front yard, we used to have these three plants. I think they were called potato plants or something. They didn't grow potatoes, so I don't know why they were called potato plants. But they were these bushes, you know, these shrubs that had a long sort of a stem thing and then a bushy part of it. You can see how into horticulture I am. But you know, two of these things blossomed faithfully. They had really pretty lavender little flowers on them, and they were nice. And two of them did really well, but one of them just never seemed to really blossom. And so, you know, I was familiar with this passage, and I thought, you know, I'm going to try this. Jesus said that if you prune it, it'll bring forth more fruit. So I went out there one day with the snippers and I started pruning. And I guess I got a bit carried away because by the time I was finished, there appeared to be nothing left there but a stick. I mean, it literally looked like a stick. And I thought, oh, I think I killed it. But you know, several months later, it didn't only all grow back, but it began to be productive like the others. It was amazing, though. At that one point, I looked at it and I thought, I might as well just pull it out of the ground. There's no way this thing's ever going to recover. The Lord, sometimes, you know, He trims us back. We sort of look like a stick, just stuck there, you know. What could this thing possibly produce? But God is at work. It's part of our experience as God's people. Because as we go on in this passage, we see that what the Lord is looking to do in our lives is he's looking to see fruit produced, and an abundance of fruit, and lasting fruit. And so as a wise husbandman, as a wise vine dresser, he knows just what needs to be done. In some cases, it's just a little bit of pinching. In some cases, it's a little bit more severe, a cutting back. In some cases, it's a thinning. There's actually even more extreme kinds of things that fall under the heading of pruning. Sometimes you could cut something back almost completely to a stump. And in that case, you can either cause it to be very fruitful ultimately, but if there's also the possibility that you could kill it. But you see, thank God we are under the care of the wise vine dresser. The Father is the vine dresser, and he knows exactly how much pruning needs to take place. This happens in ministries. It happens in churches. It happens in our lives individually. I've seen many times in the context of a church where a pruning will take place. There's a lot of growth that goes on, and there's all kinds of excitement, and look at all the people that are coming, and oh, this is wonderful. But you know, God sees that crowd, and he knows that, you know, there's a lot of people coming out, but it's not a healthy situation. So the Lord will do something that will all of a sudden thin everything out. And they're, you know, the leadership, the pastor, they just find themselves, what happened? What's going on? Everything seemed to be going so well. Everything was going our way, and God seemed to be blessing, and great numbers of people were coming, and all of this. And now, you know, wow, the church is down to about a third of its size. And you think, Lord, have we gone wrong somewhere? Lord, are we being punished? Lord, what's happened? We want to bear fruit for you. You know, if the hearts of the leaders are right, then I would say it's not a judgment from God, it's a pruning. And although it doesn't seem like it right now, more fruit is going to come forth in the future. I had some guys recently telling me about that happening at their church, and I know these men, and they're good men, they're godly men. And as they sat there distressed over the circumstances and told me the story of what's happened in their church over the past year and a half or so, this passage came to mind, and I said to him, you know what? God's doing a pruning. More fruit's going to come. Just hold on. Just trust the Lord. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. But it happens in our lives personally as well. We're going along. We're doing great. We're serving God. We're excited. Things are happening. Fruit is being born. And then all of a sudden, everything seems to come to a halt. And this goes wrong, and then we've got problems over in that area that start to develop, and things in our family are getting rattled, and, you know, we think, what is happening here? Just be patient, because, you see, God is working. He's trimming things back. He sees your fruitfulness, but he says, you know, more fruit can come from this life. We need to trim things back a bit. You know, the older a plant is, the more necessary pruning becomes. So, I'm not talking about old in the natural sense. But you know, as we get older in the Lord, you know what can happen as we get older in the Lord? We can sort of get set in our ways. We can sort of get, you know, we start doing something one way, and then we just keep doing it that way, and pretty soon it, you know what happens? It becomes like a tradition. And the older we get, a lot of those things start to sort of settle in. And there needs to be a pruning. There needs to be a cutting back. When a ministry gets older, it's so important that there's a pruning that goes on, because if it doesn't, then What'll happen is what happens to every ministry eventually is that tradition sets in and things are no longer fresh and there's no longer dependency on the Lord. And now we're just doing this because this is the way we've always done it. And there's no fresh new growth. It's important to realize the value of pruning. But Jesus says here that for these men, this is already taking place. It's the result of God working in their lives. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. And you know, it is the word of God that does that work in our lives. And you know what happens when things sort of turn a different direction and when we're not experiencing that blessing that we sensed at a certain point, you know, we turn to the word rightfully. And it's at those times that the Lord does a deeper work. I can think of so many times in my life where in the pruning process, it's caused me to go deeper into the word, to really search the scriptures, to really see, Lord, what do you want from my life? What are you trying to tell me? What areas do you want to deal with? What do you want to change? And you find that there is that cleansing effect that begins to occur through his word. It is the word of God that does that cleansing work in our lives. In Psalm 119, perhaps you remember there, it declares that our way is cleansed by taking heed to the word. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. So I cleanse my way through the word of God. Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, he speaks of Jesus loving the church and giving himself for it that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water through the word. So you see, in these times of pruning, God brings his word in a fresh new way into our lives, and it does this cleaning. It does this purging within us, and it brings us to a place of greater fruitfulness. That's the whole point. And so Jesus says in verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So again, let me just take you back to the context for a second. He's talking to these men, abide in me and I in you. A branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Of course, that's obvious. Jesus is calling them to abide in him, remain in me, live in me, continue to believe in me. That's what he's really exhorting these men to do. Remember, this is on the eve of his trial. His betrayal has already taken place. His trial is coming. His judgment is going to be passed. He's going to go to the cross. All of these things potentially could rock these men and rock their faith in him. But he's saying to them, abide in me. Because you can't bear fruit apart from doing that. Like a branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine. And then he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Jesus is saying here simply, continue to believe in me, remain in me, hold fast to your faith in me. That's really what he's communicating. Now, I think some have taken this idea of abiding and they've, in a sense, they've sort of mysticized it and sort of, you know, made it into some mystical sort of a deeper thing, you know, and actually,
you know, have kind of developed categories of Christians, you know, and then that deepest category is that person who's abiding. And if you abide, then you're going to experience the deeper life. There was a movement some years ago in the evangelical churches, the Bible-believing churches, that became known as the Deeper Life Movement. And there were books written on how to experience the deeper life. And there was a book written called Abiding. And, you know, talking about this deeper life. And yet, I think that that's pushing this further than what Jesus was actually saying. It's not a complicated thing. It's not a mystical thing. It's not a mysterious thing that only a few people can really tap into that can know the deeper life. This is what everybody's supposed to do. Continue believing in Jesus. Follow him. Stay close to him. We'll just put it in real simple terms. You know, there's nothing mystical about it. It's just that we would, like a branch abides in the vine. There's nothing mystical about that. That's the way it is. And if the branch doesn't abide in the vine, it doesn't bear fruit. It's as simple as that. So just like a branch abides in the vine, Jesus said, you abide in me. Just stay in me. Live in me. Believe in me. Remain in me. Just plant your life in my life. That's what he's talking about. And everybody can do it. Everybody must do it. Because if we don't do it, we're like a branch that's cut off and withered. There's no possibility of fruit. But if we do it, and we all can do it, and we're all called to do it, he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. You see, the secret to a fruitful life is just hanging tight with Jesus. I mean, it's as simple as that. There's no deep, mysterious thing about it. And all of us can do it. We just stick with the Lord. We just stay tight with the Lord. We're with him. We love him. We're in him. We're believing in him. We're following him. We're in him. He's in us. His word is remaining in us, as he's going to say in a moment. And all of this, Jesus said, it makes for fruit. It makes for much fruit. But then he reminds us, for without me, you can do nothing. You see, I can't do anything of any lasting spiritual value apart from Jesus. Now, again, remember, Jesus is talking to men who were part of a nation that understood itself to be the vine. And some of these men, not these particular men he's talking to, but the men that they were all associated with, many of them would in the future go on and try to bear fruit without believing that Jesus was the Messiah. And Jesus is just telling them straight up front that apart from me, you can do nothing. All of the works of those Jewish men, all of their good works, all of their attempts to abide by the law, and all of those things that they would go on and do and continue to do on down through the ages are of no value whatsoever in God's sight. They're completely unacceptable to God because they're trying to do things apart from Jesus. Because they're branches that have been disconnected from the vine and they fail to realize that they have no actual fruit. Apart from Jesus, nothing of any lasting spiritual value can be offered to God. It all must come through our relationship with the Lord. And so he says, if anyone does not abide in me, and this would be the case with many, of course, much of the nation. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. And this is what would happen with the majority of the nation. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Remember again, the primary promise here is to those men. Just like we looked before, that promise that whatever they asked in his name, he would do, that primary promise went to those men. There's a secondary application to us, I do believe, as well. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. You know, if we're abiding in Jesus and his word is abiding in us, then it would stand to reason that our desires would be for the right things. We wouldn't be asking God for foolish things. We wouldn't be asking him for things that were, you know, meant to satisfy our fleshly desires or things of that nature. We would be asking for the right things, the things of the Spirit. And then he said, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. So bearing much fruit. You see, God had hoped, planned for, expected Israel to be a fruitful vine. But tragically, they were not. God is doing a new work. Jesus says, I'm the vine. You're the branches. And now God is going to be looking to see fruit come forth from this union, from this relationship. So, in a sense, what Jesus is describing here is really the setting aside of that corrupted vine and the establishing of this new vine. He is the vine, and now his people, his followers, the believers, they are the branches, and the church would then become the instrument through which God would work and the people through whom God would seek to see fruit brought forth for his kingdom in this world. And we are right at the inception of that here. That's what's happening. Israel's being set aside. Jesus is now establishing a new thing. And just as God had hoped and intended for Israel to bear fruit, Jesus is saying, now, by this my Father will be glorified that you bear much fruit. You see, God is looking for his people to bear fruit. He's plan for the church to be that fruitful vine.
For the month of October, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled Doctrine for Difficult Days, Important Theology Made Simple by J. Vernon McGee. This book is an unparalleled resource that provides a treasure trove of information on every major teaching of the Bible. It addresses with penetrating insight the doctrine of Scripture, its history and authenticity, the doctrine of man, his origin and purpose, the doctrine of angels, their existence and nature, the doctrine of Satan, his war against God and mankind, and the doctrine of salvation, including aspects of redemption, reconciliation, regeneration, justification, and faith. This invaluable book does more than just impart knowledge. It challenges you to apply biblical teachings to daily life, helping you to live out your faith in new and deeper ways. We encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com to order this book, Doctrine for Difficult Days, Important Theology Made Simple by J. Vernon McGee. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the Gospel of John. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.